Rick and Lena were here one time. We got to talking in the basement of the church there, and she was telling me in the Ukraine the benefits that, where the farm is, I'm not sure if it's her father, I think it's her father's farm, they keep bees, and all the benefits that they get out of the honey. And of course now even in our health food stores they're selling that. But not only what we call honey, when the Bible speaks of the honeycomb and honey, it's not just talking about the sweet sugary stuff, but the pollen that they also collect from the flowers. They make the honey from the nectar of the flowers. They make something called propolis. She called it propolis. We call it propolis. And it's a preservative. They make that from the buds of trees. And that's why if a snake or a mouse, something else, crawls up in the hive, the bees will sting it to death. And then they'll take the skin off of it and they'll preserve it. They'll just leave it there and they put this propolis on it and they preserve it, keep it from decaying and rotting. And also one of the interesting properties of honey is it can be stored for years and years and it won't spoil or decay. So she was telling me also about her, I think it was her grandmother, up in her 90s, belongs to. Okay.
Her father farmed it, and then when the grandmother died, it fell to the heirs, and in order for them to own it, they had to pay the equivalent of $3,000 American to the rest of the children for it to be theirs. And so Rick has been paying that, and when they get paid off, it will belong to Rick and Lena.
And she went on to say how she was sick up in her 90s, and they began to give her, she called it bee's milk. And as she described it, what is this bee's milk that you're talking about? Well, you know, Israel, it's interesting, is described over and over and over again as a land that flows with milk and honey. But bee's milk is what we call royal jelly. And that's what they feed the queen bee only. The worker bees make that, but they only feed it to the queen bee. That's also found in our health food store. But they said they gave it to her, and she recovered even in her 90s for a while. They began to feed her that. But the queen bee, it's interesting, lives several times longer than all the other bees and lays many times her body weight in eggs. I think daily. It's amazing, and also grows larger than them. So these are some of the products that I think why the Bible recommends even the natural honey. And then it makes a spiritual application of honey as well. You see, John the Baptist, whose meat was locusts and wild honey, I've said we don't realize how balanced of a diet he was getting if he was, as I believe, he was eating pollen and propolis, probably royal jelly. And then if you've ever squeezed a grasshopper, you know he was getting his greens even. And so he was getting a well-balanced diet there. And let's look at some of what it says, because as I say, there's not only the health application of this, and I suppose about the most highly recommended food in the Bible is honey, and also of course even the milk. I could not find, however, where the Bible ever mentions cow's milk. A fellow I used to work with said, he said, you know, there's more goat's milk drank in the world than there is cow's milk. The Bible does mention the milk of goats and the milk of sheep. than even camels, though they were an unclean animal. But anyway, you find as you study this that I really think that even in the natural, and there's spiritual application to this, what Satan has done is he's taken everything good that God designed, even our sweet tooth, as we call it, because you taste sweetness on the very tip of your tongue, the first part of your tongue, you might say. And God, I think, designed that so that we would desire to eat honey. But what Satan's kind of given that a twist to Americans, they're eating all this refined sugar, which is not good for them. And they're eating, have you ever seen a chart from the 50s until now, the rate of sugar consumption just going up and up and up and up in this country? And of course, I wasn't raised with this cereal. It makes me sick when I see kids take already sweetened cereal and add just spoonfuls of sugar on top of that. But I guess it's they're addicted to the stuff. And of course, he's also taken milk and homogenized and pasteurized and corrupted it till it's not really the health food that the Scripture's talking about. But it prophesies here in Isaiah that even Messiah was going to eat butter and honey. Not only John the Baptist, whose raiment was camel's hair and leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. I think the reason was mainly necessity. He dwelled in the wilderness. He spent his time in the ministry of the Word. And he ate. He found a place for the bees. God provided it. Some honey in the rock. And that's what his meat was. Well, let's look here in Isaiah chapter 7. And I'm not going to say that these products will cure every disease, but I've tried them and they are helpful. They'll do what the Bible, honey will do what the Bible says it'll do. And it does have some things to say that pleasant words, let me give you a verse. Pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. And that means either way, you know, just speaking pleasant words. If you're in a family where there's love and unity, that will promote physical health, mental health too, spiritual health. It's no accident that, you know, husbands and wives and sweethearts call each other honey. In Song of Solomon, talks about their lips. Their tongue is as honey is under their tongue. Well, the Bible says that, what does it say? A wife that causes shame. A virtuous woman, here's how it starts out. A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband. But she that causes shame is what? As rottenness in his bones. You know who you marry could give you bone cancer, sounds to me like. If they're always causing trouble and turmoil and always nitpicking and fussing and there's no honey under their tongue, no pleasant words, which are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bone. See, you can, your mouth is like a fountain. And it can either be a bitter or a sweet fountain. And James questioned him. He said, how can a fountain give bitter water and sweet at the same time? And he said, but out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. These things ought not to be. Our mouth ought to. And then even though sometimes you have to give a rebuke, that can be sweet too. Sometimes, you know, what's bitter in the mouth is sweet in the stomach, and vice versa. Sometimes what's bitter to the taste is good for us, both physically and spiritually application. Let's read here in Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land that thou abhorrest shall be forsaken of both her kings. The Lord shall bring upon thee and upon thy people and upon thy father's house days that have not come from the day that Ephraim departed from Judah, even the king of Assyria. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall hiss for the fly that is in the uttermost part of the rivers of Egypt, for the bee that is in the land of Syria. They shall come and shall rest, all of them, in the desolate valleys, in the holes of the rocks, upon all thorns and upon all bushes. In the same day shall the Lord shave with a razor that is hired, namely by them upon the river, by the king of Assyria, the head and the hair of the feet, and it shall also consume the beard. It shall come to pass in that day that a man shall nourish a young cow and two sheep. And it shall come to pass, for the abundance of milk that they shall give, he shall eat butter. For butter and honey shall everyone eat that is left in the land. And Brother Collins was talking this morning about the Pilgrim Fathers. This today, I believe, in the last 100 years especially, America has been the land that flows with milk and honey. We eat like kings, and better than a lot of kings have. We dress better than a lot of kings have in the past. We live in more comfort, air conditioning in summer, and heat in the winter, can adjust the humidity wherever we want it, better than the kings did. It's a land that flows with milk and honey. And even as I read that about, you know, the child being raised on a healthy diet, now they're telling us a lot of these kids with ADD and all these troublemakers. I used to criticize years ago at the church, they would take the kids after Sunday school, give them donuts and Kool-Aid, and then they'd put them in children's church and tell me to teach them. Well, talk about ADD. They were wound up with sugar and chocolate and climbing the walls. We could learn a lesson from there. Misbehavior can be caused by something as simple as that. Then it can be caused by other. It can be caused by an old rebellious heart, but it can be caused by food allergies and by eating the wrong thing. It's saying even as a child, you know, God sometimes gave instructions. Said even while the child's in the womb, there are certain things you don't partake of and you don't do. Let's read Psalm 81 and 16. He should have fed them also with the finest of the wheat, and with honey out of the rock should I have satisfied thee. Now I know that Christ is really the honey in the rock. And you know where it talks about it's honey sweet to the soul and health to the bones. You get depressed and you get sad and blue. You start meditating on Christ and the goodness of God, and you start reading the words of Christ. You start listening, put on a good gospel tape and listen to it, and it lifts your spirit. It is sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Psalm 119 and verse 103. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Well, they even say that this propolis I was talking about, it boosts the immune system. It's gathered from the buds of trees, and we know that there's a tree of life whose leaves are for the healing of the nation. But the Word of God also has the effect, the same effect that this honey does, as I read here in verse 103. Sweeter, thy words are sweeter than honey to my mouth. Look over in Proverbs. The wise man had a lot to say about this subject. 16 and verse 24. I quoted this verse a while ago. Let's start at verse 21. The wise in heart shall be called prudent, and the sweetness of the lips increaseth learning. Understanding is a wellspring of life unto him that hath it, but the instruction of fools is folly. The heart of the wise teacheth his mouth and addeth learning to his lips. Pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. You know, one of the amazing discoveries of modern medicine is that people who keep their mind active, keep learning, live longer, and have better health. Even those college professors, it's just a good thing to exercise our mind. Knowledge is sweet to the soul, the Bible says. We ought to be learning every day. And of course, we as Christians should be very selective. Not only about this, our natural diet, but even more so about our spiritual diet. And it'll give health and long life. Here's a verse that relates to that. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear? Now, if you build up your inner man and you build up your spirit, especially with the Word of God and also with singing songs to the Lord, and doctors, I've read this report by many doctors. They say the most important thing when a person gets sick, especially with a terminal illness, is if they have a will to live. That's more important than all the medicine and treatments that they have. Well, that's talking about the spirit of a man shall sustain his infirmity. This thing that some think the moderns have discovered, you know, about how the mind affects health, the spirit affects health. They didn't discover that. It was in the Bible a long time ago. Solomon said, a tranquil mind giveth strength to the flesh, but passion maketh the bones to rot. Evil emotions, again, cause the bones to rot. That sounds like bone cancer to me. We could prevent a whole lot of the cancers, and I think that may be one reason why there is so much cancer. People are listening to bad news all the time, a whole lot more than they're listening to good news. They're listening to evil words and cursing, and I, you know, where I work, I can't help it. There's a whole lot of cursing and bitterness there. But when I get out of there, I need to take some time to reflect on the goodness of God and cleanse my soul from that, or I'll get just as bitter as they are. I remember one time a fellow came in where we were there at work, and he was there for a while, and he seemed real happy-go-lucky, and then he left, and somebody said, I wonder how long he's been working here. And I said, I don't think he's been working here long. He's not bitter yet. And the sad fact is that most of the older men are bitter because, in their view, some boss or some foreman, and it's happened to every one of us at one time or another, has slighted them, given somebody else the promotion that they rightfully should have gotten. It's happened to me, and it's happened to most everybody who's been there for a long time. And most of them react. The human reaction is to get bitter about it. But you know that hurts. If you get bitter, it hurts you worse than it does anybody else. Best thing we can do with that is take it to God and say, God, vengeance belongs to you. You will repay, and I'm leaving it in your hands. And if you have to do that, every day, because a lot of times bitterness is not instantly or easily resolved. Some people act as though, well, they just got rid of it. That's not been my experience. Sometimes I had to keep on putting it on the altar, and it kept coming back, rising back up, you know. And I had to say, oh, wait a minute, I got to give this back to God again. But eventually, over time, you'll get over it, and you'll be a whole lot better off if you give it to God than if you allow it to make you bitter. Proverbs 27:7, the full soul loatheth and honeycomb, but to the hungry soul every bitter thing is sweet. Well, it's interesting that even the verses before that, open rebuke is better than secret love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. See, if somebody's your true friend, even if they wound you, they're trying to heal you. They're trying to help you. They're trying to give you what you need to hear, maybe not necessarily what you want to hear at that time. Those are the type of things that are bitter to the taste. But if you'll go ahead and chew them up and swallow them, they'll be sweet as honey in your belly, and they'll help you later on in life. I remember Brother Sutherland one time preached so well on that psalm that where David cried out to God and said, God, be not silent to me. He said, lest if thou be silent to me, I'll be like them that go down to the pit. And he said, if God's silent, if God quits talking to you, if he gives up on you and turns his back on you and says, I'm not going to talk to you, he said, that's the worst thing that could happen. That should alarm you more than anything. He went on to say, the sternness rebuke from God is better than silence. At least he's still talking to you. He hasn't given up on it. And there's been people. There's been people I've given up on. But I've said, I'm not going to talk to them anymore. It does absolutely no good. They're headstrong. They're going to do what they want to do. And I'm sure that I give up on them much quicker than what God does. And my patience runs out a whole lot quicker than His does. Let's go over to the New Testament, Revelation chapter 10, verse 9. And I went to the angel and said to him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. Well, here we see it works both ways. Sometimes what we think in life is the best thing that ever happened to us. It's the thing we longed for and dreamed of. Turns out to be the bitterest thing that ever happened. Turns out to be the worst thing. What we may think is the best thing may actually be the worst thing. And what we think is the worst thing that ever happened to us, God may be using that to form character in us, and it may end up being the best thing that ever happened to us. You can see that again and again in the lives of the men in Scripture. Jacob, I'm sure the worst thing that he thought had ever happened to him was when they brought back that coat of many colors, and it was all bloody. And he said, surely some wild beast has torn Joseph apart and killed him, and he's dead. Probably that was the bitterest experience in his life up to that time. But really, God ended up using that to save his life and the life of his children, grandchildren, and the whole clan, because Joseph was sold into Egypt, and then he became the prime minister, and he stored up the food for the time of famine. So it was, I think, the scripture's teaching us again and again, even there in the book of James, it says that count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. One man said it like this. He kind of transliterated those scriptures. He said, don't count these trials as enemies. Welcome them as friends. Don't count the bitter experiences of life as your enemies. Welcome them as friends. Doesn't it say in the Bible that a wise man loves rebuke, but a fool, he hates it. And he won't even go unto the wise because he doesn't want to hear what he has to say. But he said, a wise man loves rebuke. Now, I've said, if you're going to be in a holiness church, the best thing you can do is learn to love rebuke. Because you're going to get a lot of it. And the truth is, we need it. We need it. Bitterness. Even God, when they ate the Passover, God commanded them in the natural. He said, when you eat the Passover, eat it with bitter herbs. He said, eat the bitter herbs. And now they tell us that bitter herbs are the best thing for us naturally. Keep us from getting cancer. And onions, garlic, horseradish, sauce, mustard, all those bitter herbs. Say, when you eat meat, eat some bitter herbs with it, and it's much better for you health-wise. We can see that over and over, even in the New Testament, even in this book of Revelation, the Church of Smyrna. You see, Church of Smyrna was the most persecuted, had the bitterest experience of all the seven churches. And even the name, Smyrna, Myrrh, and Mary, and Mara. Remember, Naomi said, don't call me Naomi. Don't call me pleasant. Call me Mara, for the Lord has dealt very bitterly with me. So the church of Smyrna was persecuted and all the bitter experience, but it's one of the two out of seven that God gave a good report to. So sometimes honey is bitter. Well, one of the things that Lena told me that about the honey in the Ukraine, she said that they considered the strongest kind was when the bees gathered it from buckwheat. And she said it burned when you tasted it and it went down your throat. It burned going down your throat. But she said they considered it the most healthy kind of honey to be eaten, was that bitter honey, if there is such a thing. Sweetness mixed with fire and bitterness. And it was good for them. Even Christ in Luke chapter 24 and verse 41, when he had risen from the dead, and while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and an honeycomb. So that's what Christ ate when he had risen from the dead, a piece of broiled fish and the honeycomb. Psalm 19 and 9, I like these verses. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. What's sweeter than honey and the honeycomb here? The judgments of the Lord, which are true and righteous. All day. Do you welcome the judgments of the Lord and say, these are sweeter than honey and the honeycomb? I remember Lincoln quoted this verse in the time of the Civil War, and he said that it may be, he said, a just God will require that every drop of blood shed by the lash must be repaid with another shed by the sword. But he said, nevertheless, let it be said, the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. The Civil War was the bitterest experience that this country ever had. Lincoln himself said, this is the judgment of God for all the injustice we've done. You know what I would say today? I believe a just God will require that every life lost in the abortion clinic must be repaid. And here in this country, it's about 40 million. Around the world, it's hundreds of millions of lives lost that have to be paid for. And that's one of the reasons I believe that this world is about to face the bitterest trial ever, and that is the Great Tribulation. When at one time one-third of the world population is going to be destroyed, another time one-fourth, because whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Because the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. But at the end of that, that's absolutely, the tribulation is absolutely necessary. You know what's coming at the end? The time of milk and honey. The time when the Lord sets up His kingdom and rules with a rod of iron for 1,000 years. When the knowledge of the Lord shall fill the earth. We won't have to evangelize anymore. He said, no one will say to his brother, know the Lord. He said, for all shall know me from the least to the greatest. For the knowledge of the Lord shall fill the earth as the waters cover the sea. It's absolutely necessary that the time of trial comes first. God has to clean up this earth even before He sets up His kingdom. But the judgments of the Lord, the psalmist said, are sweeter than honey and the honeycomb. And it's true in my own life. There's been times when I knew God is punishing me for what I did wrong. And I wish there was an easy way to learn obedience and learn character, but there isn't. It's only, even Christ, though He were a son, yet learned He obedience by the things which He suffered. And that's the only way I've ever learned obedience. It's the only way you will, is accept the judgments of God as being sweeter than honey in the honeycomb, and learn from them, and learn obedience, the character of Christ. Amen.